So Bartimaeus calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." But Jesus is not the Son of David. We know that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So why this title, Son of David? To answer this question, we have to look at the 8 names that are given to us in today's 3 readings to show us where God was laying the foundation so that we could see Jesus, see that he is the Son of David, and what that exactly means. So looking at the names chronologically, we start with Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was referenced in today's 2nd reading, the letter to the Hebrews. But chronologically, he shows up in Genesis 14. It's kind of interesting, well, Melchizedek's kind of interesting because he's a strange character. In Genesis 5 and Genesis 10, we have 2 genealogies. And nowhere in those genealogies does the name Melchizedek appear. So he shows up. We're told he makes an offering, and then he leaves, never to be seen again throughout the scriptures. We're also told in Genesis 14 that he is the king of Salem. Now, Salem will be renamed to Jerusalem one day. Then we're also told that he offers bread and wine. So at the very beginning of our salvation journey with God, we're told that there is a high priest who's also a king who offers bread and wine in a place that will one day be known as Jerusalem. Next, we need to turn to the 1st reading and we encounter Jacob. There's many things about Jacob, but what's important for us today is Jacob is sleeping and he has a dream. I recommend sleeping a lot. God can talk to us in our dreams as well. So when you take that nap, don't feel guilty. Just think, God, now's the time to talk to me. So when Jacob's asleep, he has this wonderful dream, and he sees this ladder. And the ladder's going all the way up to heaven. And he sees angels descending down and angels ascending back up into heaven. So we see this wonderful connection between heaven and earth. Jacob would go on to be named Israel. He would have 12 sons, and they would become the 12 tribes of? Great. One of you got it. 2 of you got it. Good, good, good. So Israel had a favorite son who'd be Joseph. Joseph also was a dreamer. Joseph prophesied, and his brothers didn't like him that he was doing that because he was his father's favorite son. So they sell him off into slavery, and he ends up in Egypt. In Egypt, he takes an Egyptian wife, and he has 2 sons. One of them is named Ephraim, who we heard about in today's 1st reading. So what we see here is Ephraim becomes an archetype for this sort of model, this understanding that there was a time in salvation history when our ancestors were exiled, our ancestors were enslaved in a foreign land. Next, we go back to our 2nd reading in the book of Hebrews, and Aaron was mentioned. Now, when Moses is called to go to set God's people free, he says, "God, not me. I'm not a good speaker." God says, "Don't worry, I got your back. Your brother Aaron is on his way. He will be the one who will speak." But then Aaron has another role in salvation history. On Mount Sinai, Moses is given the 10 commandments. Moses becomes the judge, if you will, of Israel. But at this time, that office of priest and king is split. So Aaron is called. Aaron will become the first high priest of Israel. It's through Aaron's ancestors, Aaron's sons, that we'll see the priesthood coming to its fruition. Next, let's jump to the gospel and look at King David. Now, when you think of a king any kings of Israel, who is the king? King David is the one that comes to mind. We're told that King David was very good in civil affairs. He was a warrior, and he wrote the Psalms of David. In fact, that reference in the Gospel, in the Hebrews, some have said, "You are a priest forever," in the order of Melchizedek. That's Psalm 110. That's David's writings. David has said in 1 Samuel and the Acts of the Apostles that he is a man after God's own heart. He did have a little thing with, you know, Bathsheba and Uriah, but, you know, these things happen in the best of families. We'll just put that on the side for now. But when we look at, you know, David, he is held up as that wonderful king that we are all to emulate. Now let's get to the gospel. We'll start with Timaeus. He's the father of Bartimaeus. Now, Timaeus is an interesting name because it's not a Hebrew name. In fact, it's a Greek name. Plato, in writing his dialogues, has a character named Timaeus. Timaeus is the person in the dialogues of Plato who gives the most important theological teaching that Plato has. Timaeus is the one that says sight is the very basis of the foundation of knowledge. Then we have Bartimaeus, his son, the one who will cry out, "Son of David, have pity on me." Bartimaeus' name is also odd because it's a hybrid. It's both Greek and Hebrew. So it's not strange in Mark's gospel that people who may not be covenantal people are the ones who are proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. If we go back to the first chapter of Mark, in there, the first person to correctly identify who Jesus Christ is a demon. It's a demon that says, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And here we have in the gospel most likely somebody who is not part of the chosen people, most likely not an Israelite, is the one who sees Christ through the eyes of faith. So let's go back now and put all this together and work on this Son of David title. The title is not telling us about David's physical lineage, but rather his spiritual lineage. Jesus Christ is the legitimate heir to the throne of David. That makes him his spiritual son. So Christ is this king of Israel, the Messiah that the people were waiting for, that would be that leader of them. But we're also told in that reference, right, to Psalm 110, that Jesus Christ is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So that kingship and priesthood are coming back together again in that person of Christ. Jesus is back in Salem, but now it's known as Jerusalem. Melchizedek, the new Melchizedek, is back. And at the Last Supper, what is the offering that this high priest offers? Bread and wine. Good for you. Way to go, Dennis. I heard that voice real loud. You get extra points. Way to go. So this high priest, this king, is offering bread and wine. The next day, Jacob's ladder will be transformed. No longer is it a ladder for just the angels to come up and down. That ladder will become a cross. Christ will offer himself on that cross. He will shed his blood so the grace of God can come down through that cross to us. And we can travel back up to heaven through that cross of Christ. Aaron's priesthood had to go through bloodlines. Christ's priesthood does not. Christ's priesthood is open to all who have faith, all who believe. I haven't traced my genealogy, but I don't think I go back to Aaron. Doesn't sound very Irish to me. But finally, we see that most likely a non-Israelite is the one who's making this proclamation of who Jesus Christ is. So God is saying the covenant is now open to all who have faith. So Son of David and the eight names given to us help us to see how God has constantly been at work in our lives, laying out the clues, if you will, to help us to see not just with our eyes, but with our intellect, with our hearts, and with our soul, to see that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Jesus Christ is the new Melchizedek. So if you have that wonderful sight already, give praise to God. Thank him for that beautiful gift. But if you're struggling in your faith, if maybe you're distant from your faith, if this is the first time you've been to church in a while, congratulations, you weren't hit by lightning. We ask you to keep coming back. Keep coming back and ask God. Say, "Master, I want to see. Master, I want you in my life."